Lord, you're just so incredible, your love for us and your mercy and your grace. And we bless you for that tonight and ask God that you would just take things a little deeper in our hearts and in our spirits tonight. That as we talk about some of these principles tonight, Lord, that you'll open up things in our hearts like they've never been opened up before. Lord, that you would bring an unveiling over our minds and our eyes, Lord, that we might see as you see, and that we might understand, Lord, those principles which are part of your nature and your character and part of your plan and your purpose for your church. And Father, that you would just bring revelation, Lord, to our hearts and to our lives, that you would just open it up so that we might see, Lord, in a new way tonight, and then, Lord, might be able to respond to you in stepping out into a new level and a new place in you. And we just bless you and thank you tonight, Lord, for your faithfulness as we look at your word, in Jesus' name. All right. The first, it's a bit chilly in here tonight, isn't it? I should take my coat off, but I'm still kind of cold. And if your hands start freezing up as you're taking notes, just blow hot air on them, you know, and see if you can thaw them out. All right. The first principle we're going to look at tonight, the next one in our list of 14 Davidic principles, and I have no idea which number we're up to now, but the principle that we're going to look at in my section of things tonight is the concerted sound. You kind of find this in 1 Chronicles 15, verses 16 through 24, and I won't read that whole passage. You have it in your notes, but I want you to notice as you read through this that we have lots of people mentioned who are all doing different things to bring forth one sound as they bring up the ark. You've got singers, you've got people playing instruments, and they're all playing different instruments. They're playing harps, and they're playing cymbals, and they're blowing trumpets. And then you've got people that are part of it as well, that are doorkeepers and gatekeepers, and you have all these people working together to bring one sound of praise and worship before the Lord as they bring up the ark. And so the word concerted sound is not a scriptural term. That's a name that we've given to what actually happened. Okay, I'm going to clarify that. But let's look at what it really means. The word concert, okay, the English word is derived from the Latin word concerto, which means literally to strive together. And its usage in the English gives us the idea of agreement or harmony or unity. And it gives us a picture of many elements flowing together as one. All right, that's the picture you get from the word concert or concerted. Many elements flowing together as one, all right? So we can have the concerted sound on a musical level, which they did as they all stood, you know, together to worship, and each one was doing their part, playing this instrument and singing this bit. And as they all came together, there was a concerted sound. There was a sound as one body. All right, so you can have it on a musical level, like what happened in the accounts of bringing up the ark. But you can also have it on a spiritual level, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Let's talk about the musical level first. On a musical level, here, I'll give you a definition to fill in your big, long blank there. It's a musical expression involving the use of contrasting timbres in a unified sound. A musical expression involving the use of contrasting timbres, spelled T-I-M-B-R-E-S, in a unified sound. Okay? So that's just the natural plane. That's just the musical plane. And the account in First Chronicles that we read above, chapter 15, is actually the first recorded account of such a musical expression being used in worship. Now, the reason why was because it's generally accepted that up until David's time, the music in Israel was largely limited to what they called minstrel prophets, who sort of traveled throughout the land as accompanied soloists, right? So you had these individual minstrel prophets sort of traveling around, but there was no indication of established musical leadership or orchestration before this time. Or at least, are we okay there? Okay. I'm glad we got Dave's seal of approval here. Actually, Dave studied this a whole lot deeper than I have, so it's good to have his seal of approval. David established a musical precedent then here of orchestration in worship, taking a group of individuals and putting them together under his leadership to bring a concerted sound. Okay? So this is really the first evidence we have in the scriptures of somebody taking a whole group of individuals and putting them together to bring forth one sound or something that looked unified as one. All right? And we see the principle of the concerted sound on the musical level clearly in the account of Solomon's temple dedication, or the dedication of Solomon's temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. All right? And then we've got that verse for you in your notes. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. All right. So we see that concerted sound on a musical level happening in that passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, where it talks about the dedication of Solomon's temple. But there was also a concerted sound going on a spiritual level there, which we'll talk about just in just a minute. Let's go on to B, about the concerted sound on a spiritual level. It's applicable to all aspects of our worship and walk with the Lord. And that might sound a little confusing. Maybe it'll make more sense as we go on. sound is a product. Don't ask me where I got this. this is from some research a number of years ago. Douglas, if this sounds wrong, let me know, okay? Sound is the product of vibrations resulting from a release of energy. All right? Okay. We're all right there. We've got Douglas's seal of approval. Man, I'm batting 100 tonight. Okay. Right. all right. So, now I want you to think about this. If sound is the product of vibrations resulting from a release of energy, then we can create sound in a broad sense by any action on our part. All right? Now just think about this. I know this is a mind blower, but if sound is the result of vibrations from the release of energy, okay, then in a very broad sense, we can create, say in a spiritual sense, we can create sound by any action on our part. All right? I'll give you an example. I think this is why prophetic gestures, as they're led and directed by the Holy Spirit, are so powerful, because they send a message that resounds through the kingdom of darkness from the Lord. There's a message, there's a sound that goes forth. As we respond in obedience to the Holy Spirit when he says to do something, you know, like you're praying for this person, cut that cord that you see tying them to the past. Take your hand and go, whoosh, you know, and as with the leading of the Holy Spirit, as you sense the Lord is saying to do that, and you step out and you respond to him in obedience with that prophetic gesture, that action, the release of the energy in that action, creates a vibration which sends forth sound in the realm of the Spirit. And it sends a message vibrating through the kingdom of darkness that God has done something. That God is saying no more. Those ties to the past are cut. You know, and so I think we could perhaps say that we have a natural sound, and maybe we have sound on another level, which is beyond what we can see, hear, think, taste, or touch, maybe. Just a thought. All right. So on a spiritual level, a concerted sound is simply the result of many elements flowing together in unity. Okay? So on the natural level, on a musical level, we've got many instruments and many voices flowing together harmoniously in unity to create one sound. On a spiritual level, we have many instruments. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Make me an instrument of worship. Right? On a spiritual level, we have many instruments flowing together in harmony and in unity to create one sound, but a sound not in the natural sense, but a sound in the spiritual sense. Okay? And it all comes as we flow together in unity. All right, we have some examples that we see in the scriptures. One is a concerted sound in worship. And again, we'll just use the example of the dedication of Solomon's temple in 2 Chronicles 5, because it's very obvious from the description there that there was not only unity on a musical level, but there was unity on a heart level as well. All right? So we see the concerted sound coming forth in the spiritual sense in that passage as well, because there was unity on a heart level as well as on a musical level. And the result was an incredible manifestation of the glory of God. All right, then another place where we see sort of a concerted sound on a spiritual level is 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. Talks about living and working together in harmony. And then in Matthew 18, 19, it talks about praying together in agreement. And then we find that 8 times in the book of Acts, it talked about them being in one accord. All of these passages are talking about a spiritual expression of the concerted sound. They're all talking about the concerted sound, not on a natural level or a musical level, but in a heart, on a heart level, on a spiritual level. Okay? And then Romans 15, verses 5 and 6 in the NAS version also talks about this concerted sound. It says, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, so you see that exhortation to press towards that concerted sound here in Romans chapter 15. So there's some other exhortations in the New Testament about the concerted sound. One, there's a couple of passages that exhort us to come to a place of unity of purpose, all right? To experience the concerted sound in the area of purpose. Just as all Israel was united in one purpose to bring up the ark and restore the presence of God, so God is calling us to unite in bringing back the presence of God to the church, isn't he? Right? So there's a unity of purpose there. The Apostle Paul exhorts us in 1 Peter 4:1 to join ourselves together with Christ in the same purpose, he says. And then he goes on to describe that that purpose is to be dead to self and alive to God. So I think it's, you know, needful for us to examine our purpose in serving God. Is it fire insurance for us? Have you not heard that before? Is it just to feel absolved from guilt? Is it out of a desire to belong somewhere? Is it to feel good? Or is it because we desire him? To know him, to be like him, to be with him. All right? So what is our personal purpose? And as we come into a place where our purpose is to know him, to be with him, to be like him, more and more there will come that unity of purpose and a concerted sound. All right? Another area where we see exhortations to walk in, to experience, to release the concerted sound in the New Testament is in the area of our mindsets and thinking. That's letter B in your notes. And you have a number of passages there in your notes, which we won't mention. But this happens as we relinquish our own logic and our human tradition and our human thinking to receive his mind. We have to put off the old man in order to receive the new. And he said, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts, didn't he? So as we let go of all that is us and receive more and more of what is him, including his thinking, then more and more we'll come into a place of unity in our thinking. As we let go of ours and receive what's his, more and more we will all come into a place of unity in our thinking because we'll be thinking like he thinks. All right? So he will be the common denominator. All right. Then the last area where I just want to mention we see some exhortations in the New Testament to release the concerted sound is in the place of bodily functions. And I don't mean this in the medical sense. All right. I just couldn't figure out another way to say it. You have another a whole group of passages there that you can look up at another time, but I'll just mention one or two of these. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6 says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. And you see a picture there of, even in the different and unique activities and ministries and giftings and callings and things that are operating, that he's saying it's still God who's in the midst of all this. There's still a unity and a oneness because it's God who's directing everything. And then 1 Corinthians 14:26 talks about when we come together, each of us has a psalm and a teaching or a tongue or a revelation or interpretation. Everybody has a part, but it all comes together for the edification of the body. There's still a unity of purpose. There's still a oneness in the midst of all that diversity. All right? And so we get a picture in, you know, as you look at these passages, those are just two of the four or five that I mentioned. But as you look at these passages, you get a picture of many members working together as one, with the whole symphony orchestrated and arranged by the Lord. And I think that picture of a symphony is a really lovely picture of what God is doing in the body of Christ and what he wants to do, because you've got all these individual instruments, and you've even got sort of groups of instruments. You've got the strings over here and the woodwinds over here and the horns over here, and so there's sort of groupings, but even in the groupings, each one is playing a different part, you know, and but they all flow together as one, as each contributes their part. They all flow together as one and make a beautiful sound. And then I was thinking about the conductor, you know. If they just sort of play what they want to and they don't keep their eyes on the conductor, then it's just horrible noise, isn't it? But as each one keeps their eyes on the conductor and responds to his direction and plays the part that he has given them to play, then it's absolutely beautiful, isn't it? And so I think that's a really good analogy of how God is causing all of us to work together to bring forth the concerted sound in our walk, in our lives together as the body of Christ. So, all right. This was interesting. The Apostle John described the risen Lord's voice as being like the sound of many waters. And that's in Revelation chapter 1, verse 15. Okay, he described his voice as being like the sound of many waters. Now, out of each one of us is meant to flow rivers of what? Living water. All right? So you have this picture that Jesus gave of out of each one of us flowing these rivers of living water. And then you have John saying his voice is like the voice of many waters. And we can kind of see that God means these rivers to flow together to produce one voice. And that's his voice. So all those rivers of living water running out of each one of us are meant to flow together as one voice, and that's his voice. Isn't that a cool picture? All right. From the dedication of Solomon's temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, we see that the concerted sound reveals the glory of God. Okay, the result of the concerted sound is the glory of God being revealed and manifest for all to see. So the question that we have is, does he not want to reveal his glory through us? to a lost and dying world. And we can think of a few passages, Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. Verse 2, we always quote verse 1 and leave out verse 2. Verse 1 is, arise and shine, you know, for your light is come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Well, verse 2 says, the glory of the Lord will rest upon you. And you have a picture there of God desiring to reveal his glory through his people. And Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And we know he's going to do it through us because we're his body. We're his voice. We're his hands extended. We're his ambassadors on the earth. So if it's going to cover the earth, it's going to come through us. And Romans 8, verse 18, talks about the glory that will be revealed through us, specifically in those words. So if God wants to bring and reveal his glory to a lost and dying world through us, there's a good bet here from studying these passages that it's going to come as we come together in unity and release a concerted sound as his body. All right, and then the last bit we just wanted to talk about here is that submission is required for the concerted sound. For this concerted sound to come forth, it takes first submission to God. And we've just mentioned James 4, 7, one scripture there. But I did put a little quote in your notes from a systematic theology book that I thought was quite good. It says, the church is an organism. There are many members of the body of Christ, but there is one head, the Lord Jesus Christ. The members cannot function properly without full submission to the head who provides direction to the whole body. All right. The second area where there needs to be submission for the concerted sound to come forth is submission to leaders. And we've got a number of passages there. I just listed three. You're probably familiar with most of them. And the last one is submitting to one another. Now, there's a mutual submission talked about throughout the New Testament. And that's one that we don't hear about so much. But without mutual submission, we're striving against rather than with one another. And there's a experience that comes to mind from when I was in primary school. There was a number of us that were asked by the teacher to work together on some project. And I think this was somewhere around year 5. And we never could get it together because everybody was trying to do everything, and so nobody did anything. And it was absolute chaos. And but see, we didn't want to let. I remember there were all these little undercurrents, you know, well, don't want Billy to do this because he won't do it right, you know, so no, you can't do that. And well, and if you let her do this, then, you know, she'll be bragging about it to everybody, so you don't want her to do that. And so there was no mutual submission to one another. In this project, nobody wanted to let anybody else do anything. They all wanted to save the good bits for themselves, you know. And so what happened was nothing got accomplished. We never got anywhere. It was absolute chaos and frustration. But it was because we weren't willing to defer to one another, and we weren't submitted to one another, and we weren't willing to put someone else first. You know, we were all pushing and elbowing our way to the front and trying to control the whole thing, and so nothing ever happened. And so that's just an example that comes to mind from my life of being in a situation where everyone was striving against one another rather than working with one another, and to see the concerted sound come forth, we really got to submit to one another and in honor prefer one another. And then number two here in your notes, the key to mutual submission is humility and having a servant heart. And you've got a couple of verses there in Philippians 1 and Philippians chapter 2. And then I just mentioned Jesus' words. He said, "If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." And then the last point, a spirit of humility in the heart of a servant brings liberty and releases us to produce the concerted sound. Humility and a servant heart bring liberty. We're set free from everything that would keep us trying to protect ourselves or look good in other people's eyes. All the things that would hinder unity, we're set free from as we just respond to the Lord in humility and with a servant heart. And that allows the concerted sound to come forth. All right. So here's our summary. We've condensed it all down into just a few sentences here. The concerted sound is the sound of many who with one mind and purpose are working together in submission to God, leaders, and one another. And as a result, produce a unified sound. It is not the sound of an accompanied soloist, but of many. The absence of any one part is noticeable to the trained ear. Each part in God's orchestra is different and unique, but they blend together as one voice. A voice of many waters to express the fullness of Christ. The resulting sound is one that could not be produced by any one individual. Rather, it is a unique sound of the body made as every joint supplies its part. The concerted sound will release the glory of the Lord upon the earth and reveal Jesus to a world who desperately needs him.